Luvis said. You think it's too far away? I don't like long engagements.
You can't go wrong with June, Connie said. Everyone wants to get married in June.
That's what I figure, Luvis said. I always wanted to be a June bride, but I don't want one of them schmaltzy weddings with a big white gown and all. I just want to get married real quick.
She looked at me.
What about you? Did you have a big schmaltzy wedding?
Yeah, and then I had an even bigger divorce.
I remember the divorce, Connie said. It was spectacular. It was a real accomplishment since you'd only been married about 15 minutes.
She handed a file over to me.
This guy just came in, failed to appear for his court appearance. Not a big bond, but it shouldn't be too hard to find him. He lives with his brother in a row house on Vine Street.
What's the charge?
Indecent exposure.
That sounds like fun, Lula said. I might have to help you with that one.
I read through the bond document.
He's 81.
Now that I think about it, Lula said, I got a lot to do. I might not have time to round up some 81-year-old naked guy.
I'm sure he's not always naked, I said to Lula. He probably just forgot to close the barn door.
Okay, I'll go with you, but I don't want to get involved with no 80-year-old doodles, you see what I'm saying?
Before I forget, Maryam Filadio is having a purse party tonight, Connie said. Are you interested?
Maryam Filadio's husband, Danny, hijacked trucks for the Trenton mob, and from time to time, Maryam supplemented her household budget by tapping into the merchandise stored in her garage.
What's she got? I asked Connie. She said Danny got a load of Louis Vuitton last night. Picked him up at Port Newark.
I'm in, Luvis said. I could use a new bag. She just get bags or did she get shoes, too?
I don't know, Connie said. It was a message on my machine.
I shoved the new file into my pocket. I'm working tonight. Brenda's having dinner with the mayor. If she passes out early enough, I'll stop by. There was still rush hour traffic clogging Hamilton when Lula and I left the bonds office. The sky was as blue as it gets in Jersey, and the air was warm enough that I could unzip my sweatshirt. Lula walked half a block to my parked car and stopped short, eyes bugged, mouth open.
Holy cow!
Zook was written over the entire car in black and scarlet and gold, surrounded by swirling flames edged in metallic green. He did it when I took a shower this morning. He said it would wash off, I told Lula.
Too bad. It's a real improvement on this hunk of junk car.
It's supposed to protect me from the griefer.
You can never have too much protection, Lula said.
We buckled in, and I drove the short distance to Conway Street.
I'll just be a minute, I told Lula. I need to talk to Dominic Rizzi.
Holler if you need help. I hear he's a nutcase.
Alma Rizzi's small front yard was bare of landscaping, with the exception of a plaster statue of the Virgin Mary. The Virgin and the weather-beaten gray clabbered house behind it were stoic. They'd seen it all, good times and bad. I knocked on the front door, and Dom answered. He was about 5'9", with a barrel chest and a head like a melon. He was a couple years older than Loretta, and a lot of pounds heavier. He looked like Friar Tuck with road rage.
Stephanie Plum, he said. You got a lot of nerve coming here. First you put my kid sister in jail, and then you kidnap my nephew. If I wasn't on probation, I'd shoot you.
I didn't kidnap Mario. Loretta made me promise to take him. And if you'd bail her out, he could go back home instead of living with Morelli and me. Dom went goggle-eyed.
Mario is living with Joe Morelli? That bastard has my nephew?
Yeah.
In his house?
Yeah. Dom was just about vibrating in front of me, hands fisted, neck cords bulging, spit foaming at the corners of his mouth, face purple.
Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. I'm gonna kill that snake, Morelli. I swear to God I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna cut off his head. That's what you do to a snake.
Yikes. Yeah, but not when you're on probation, right?
Fuck probation. He deserves to die. First he got my kid sister pregnant, and then he took Rose's house, and now he's got Mario.
Whoa, wait up a minute. What do you mean he got Loretta pregnant?
It's obvious, Dom said. Take a look at the kid. Recognize anyone?
Loretta and Joe are vaguely related. It's not shocking that there'd be a family resemblance.
It's more than a family resemblance. Besides, I caught him in the act. They were doing it in my old man's garage. 9 months later, Mario popped out of the oven. That piece of shit, Morelli. I should have killed him then.
I was stunned. I'd seen the resemblance, but this had never crossed my mind. Morelli had been pretty wild in high school in his early 20s. He hadn't been my favorite person, and I was willing to believe a lot of bad things about him. This went beyond what I would have expected. Hard to believe he'd have a romantic relationship with Loretta and then walk away from her and the baby. I know Morelli had a Casanova reputation in high school, but this is out of character, I said to Dom. Family and friends were always important to Morelli.
You ruined my kid sister's life. She was smart. She always got the good grades. She could have been something, but she had to quit high school. And now she's in jail. This is his fault. He stole her future just like he stole mine. You tell the son of a bitch to live in fear. You tell him to watch his back because I'm gonna chop the head off the snake. And you tell him to stay far away from my nephew,
Rizzi said, eyes narrowed. If you'd post the security for the bond on Loretta...
I'm living in my mother's house. Does that say something? Like maybe I haven't got a cent? No job, no money, no goddamn house?
I thought you might have some cash lying around.
What are you, fucking deaf? I have nothing.
Okay then, good talking to you. Let me know if you find some money, just give me a ringy-dingy. I turned and practically ran back to the car. He was friggin' scary. And I couldn't believe I told him to give me a ringy-dingy. Where did that come from? Lula was eyebrows up when I slid behind the wheel.
Well, how'd that go? She asked.
Could have been better.
He gonna bond Loretta out?
Nope.
Sounded to me like he was yelling about something.
Yep.
You want to talk about it?
Nope. What on earth was I supposed to say? He saw Morelli boinking Loretta and getting her pregnant? I could barely think it, much less repeat it.
Huh, Lula said. I was going to make you my maid of honor, but I might have to rethink that if you're going to go all secret on me.
I thought you were going to have a quiet wedding.
Yeah, but you gotta have a maid of honor. It's a rule.
Vine Street ran off Broad and was at the edge of the burg. I cruised along, checking off the numbers of the row houses.
What's this guy's name? Lula wanted to know.
Andy Gimp.
That's a terrible name. That's a strike against you right from the start.
He's 81. I imagine he's used to it. I pulled to the curb and parked.
Showtime. I hope not, Lula said. I finally got me some good stuff. I don't want to ruin my mental image. I don't want some old wrinkled wanger burned into my cornea when what I want to remember is Tank and the big boys.
I took a business card and a small can of pepper spray out of my purse and rammed them into my jeans pocket. Big boys?
Yeah, you know, the fuzzy lumpkins, the stormtroopers, the beef balls.
I covered my ears with my hands. I get it. I stepped onto the small cement front porch and rang the bell. A little old man with wispy gray hair and skin like a Shar Pei answered. Andy Gimp? I asked.
Nope, I'm Bernie. Andy's my older brother, the man said. Come on in, Andy's watching television.
I got a bad feeling about this, Lula said. If this is a younger brother, what the heck does the older one look like?
Hey, Andy, Bernie called out. You got company. You got a couple hot ones.
I followed Bernie into the living room and immediately spotted Andy. He was slouched into a broken-down, overstuffed chair facing the television. He was wearing a white dress shirt buttoned to the neck and black socks and black shoes, and that was it. No pants. He looked like a bag of bones with skin cancer. He was milk-white skin and red splotches everywhere, and I mean everywhere. There was a lot of nose and a lot of ears and gonads hanging low between his knobby knees.
Come on in, he said, gesturing with big bony hands. What can I do for you?
I knew it, Lula said. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. This year's gonna haunt me forever. This is what I got to look forward to after 100 years of marriage. This year's what happens to outdoor plumbing when a man gets old. I don't know if I can go through with the wedding.
Age don't got nothing to do with it, Bernie said. He's always looked like that.
You're not wearing any pants, I said to Andy Gimp.
Don't like 'em, never wear 'em.
Fine by me, I said, but you didn't show up for your court appearance.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I had it marked on my calendar, Andy said. Bernie, where's the calendar?
Lost it, Bernie said.
They say I didn't show up for my court appearance.
Bernie shrugged.
So what? They'll give you another one.
Andy was on his feet looking for the calendar. He walked, body bent, arms akimbo, feet planted wide for balance, his nuts practically dragging on the floor.
"I know it's here somewhere,"
he said, shuffling through magazines on the coffee table, rifling through a pile of newspapers on the floor.
"I'm feeling faint," Lula said. "If he bends over one more time, I'm going to pass out. I can't stop looking. It's a train wreck. It's like the end of the universe. You know when you get sucked into that thing? What do you call it?
Black hole?"
"Yeah, that's it. It's like staring into the black hole."
Andy was distracted by the calendar hunt, so I gave my business card to Bernie and introduced myself. "Lula and I need to take Andy to the courthouse so he can reinstate his bail bond," I told Bernie. "Can you get him to put some pants on?"
"He don't own none," Bernie said. "And I'm not loaning him any of mine. You don't know where he's been sitting."
"Hell, I'll buy him some pants if he'll stop bending over," Lula said.
"Won't do no good," Bernie said. "He won't wear him. He made up his mind."
Since I've had this job, I've hauled in a naked, greased-up fat guy, a half-naked homie, and a naked old pervert. And I've worked with a little naked guy who thought he was a leprechaun. A geriatric nudist wasn't going to slow me down. "Get a jacket," I said to Andy. "We're going downtown."
"I'm not wearing pants," he said.
"Not my problem." I walked him out of the house and settled him onto a newspaper on my back seat.
"The desk sergeant is gonna love this," Lula said.
An hour later, Andy was in line at the courthouse waiting to see the judge, and Lula and I were back on Hamilton Avenue coming up to Tasty Pastry.
"Pull over," Lula said. "I want to go into the bakery. I got to look at wedding cakes, and I wouldn't mind getting an eclair to set on my stomach. I think I got wedding jitters."
I thought that was a great idea. I didn't have wedding jitters, but I had a guy in basement jitters, and Loretta jitters, and Joe Morelli fatherhood jitters. I might need 3 eclairs. I parked the Sentra, and Lula and I marched into the bakery. Betty Kaharchik was behind the counter setting out a cookie display. Betty is an apple dumpling woman who has worked at Tasty Pastry forever. If you pass her on the street, there's a lingering scent of powdered sugar icing.
"I'm going to be a June bride, and I need to consider some wedding cakes," Lula said to Betty. "I like the one in the window with the 3 tiers and the big white roses with the green leaves, but before I get down to business, I need an eclair."
"Me too," I said to Betty. "I need 3.
3? Lula said. "I'm the one with the wedding jitters, and you're trumping me on eclairs. What's with that?"
"I have Zook and Loretta jitters."
"That don't seem like 3 eclair jitters to me," Lula said. "That's barely a single eclair. That might be a half a eclair. Maybe I need more eclairs."
She looked over at Betty.
"You might want to put a couple more eclairs in that box."
Betty boxed up 6 eclairs and handed them over.
"What kind of cake are you thinking about?" Betty asked. "Chocolate, vanilla, carrot cake, rum cake, chocolate chip, spice, banana. And then you get to choose the filling between the layers. Lemon pudding, chocolate mousse, whipped cream, coconut cream, tropical fruit filling."
"I like all them cakes," Lula said. "The part I want to talk about is the bride and groom. The little people on top of the cake have to be right. Tank and me are darker than the little people you got displayed, and we're more full-bodied. You see what I'm saying?"
The door to the bakery opened, and Morelli sauntered in, draped an arm around my shoulders, and gave me a friendly kiss just above my ear.
"Saw your car parked at the curb," he said. "Nice paint job."
"Protects me from Moondog."
"One less thing for me to worry about,"
Morelli said. I took the box of eclairs and went outside to talk. I opened the box and offered it to Morelli. "Hungry?" Morelli's eyes went beyond the box to my t-shirt and traveled south.
"Yeah," he said.
"Right now I'm only offering eclairs." Morelli blew out a sigh and took one. I did the same, and we stood in the sun with our backs to the building and ate our eclairs. "I had a disturbing conversation with Dominic Rizzi," I said to Morelli. "His contention is that not only did you steal his Aunt Rose's house out from under him, but that you're Mario's father."
"That's ridiculous," Morelli said.
"Dom claims he caught you in the act with Loretta in her father's garage, and 9 months later, Mario was born." Morelli chewed slowly and thought about it.
"I went through a lot of women back then. I don't remember all of them."
"Seems to me you'd remember having sex with your cousin."
"To begin with, Loretta's not exactly part of the family tree. It's more like she's in the forest."
"What the heck is that supposed to mean?"
"I don't know. It's like we're 43rd cousins or something."
He finished eating and took a paper napkin from me.
"I guess I have some vague recollection of a skirmish in the garage, but I don't recall doing it with Loretta." Then who was in the garage with you?
I don't know, Morelli said. It was dark.
He looked at the eclair box.
Can I have another one?
No.
You're mad.
Of course I'm mad. How could you have been so irresponsible? God, you were such a pig.
That's not exactly a secret,
Morelli said.
Everyone knew I was a pig. You knew I was a pig.
There's more bad news, I told him.
Terrific. What is it?
Dominic has decided you should die, and he's going to kill you.
I need to have a talk with Loretta, and then I'll talk to Dom, see if I can get him interested in solving his mental health issues.
He gave me a kiss on my forehead.
Gotta go. Are you working tonight?
Yes, Brenda has a press conference this afternoon and dinner with the mayor tonight.
Will you be able to pick Zook up after school?
If I can't, I'll get someone else to do it. And I'm going to leave him with my parents this afternoon if Loretta isn't bonded out. Dom is too irrational about you. I don't want to make things worse by putting his nephew in your house. And what went unsaid was that I was still spooked by the guy in the basement. Morelli's house didn't feel secure. Morelli opened the driver's side door to his SUV, and clumps of dog hair tumbled out and drifted off on a breeze.
Be careful tonight,
he said. No problem. Brenda isn't dangerous. Morelli angled himself behind the wheel.
I was thinking a ranger.
Lula bustled out of the store, and we watched Morelli drive off.
That man is fine, Lula said, taking an eclair from the box. I get a rush just looking at him.
I glanced over at her.
Well, hell, she said. I'm engaged. I'm not dead.
Chapter 5. I was back in my black suit and black heels. In an effort to compete with Brenda, I'd added an extra swipe of mascara, and I'd run a brush through my hair. If I'd had an extra hour and a half, I could have done a lot better. I reached the hotel 5 minutes late, and Tank was still on duty in front of Brenda's door.
Ranger's in a meeting with hotel security, Tank said. I'll stay with you until he gets here.
Spending time with Tank was always excruciating because, for the most part, Tank didn't talk. Ranger didn't talk a lot either, but he said a lot with his eyes and his touch. I'd reached a level of comfort with Ranger. Ranger looked at ease and in control when he was with me. Tank looked like he wanted to bolt and run. So, I said to Tank, doing some mental knuckle-cracking, searching for an icebreaker. Congratulations.
What?
On your engagement.
Oh, jeez,
Tank said, his upper lip breaking out in a sweat.
You know about it?
Lula told me.
What did she say? Did she say how it happened? You know, how I proposed?
She said it was very romantic. Tank did a grimace.
Listen, can I talk to you real confidential? I mean, Ranger trusts you, and he doesn't trust anyone, so maybe I can trust you too, right?
Sure.
I don't remember proposing. I guess I was so nervous I blanked out or something. I don't even remember buying the ring. All I remember is I fell asleep, and when I woke up, I was engaged. Lula was wearing the ring, and she was all excited.
Oh, boy. I guess the important thing is that you're happy about it, I told him. You are happy, aren't you?
I don't know. I'm confused. You won't tell Ranger, will you? He'll laugh his ass off.
Ranger laughs?
He laughs on the inside.
You're going to have to tell Ranger sooner or later, I said to Tank.
Why?
Because you'll get married and...
Married? We just got engaged.
That's usually followed by marriage. Tank's eyes were blank and his face went gray under the brown. He staggered back, went down to one knee, and crashed to the floor in a faint. The elevator doors opened and Ranger stepped out and spied Tank stretched out on the carpet. Fainted, I said. Ranger walked to Tank and stood, hands on hips, staring down at him.
Tank doesn't faint. I've been in firefights with him. He's a rock.
Well, the rock fainted. Ranger towed him, and Tank moaned a little and opened his eyes.
Why did he faint?
I can't tell you. Ranger cut his eyes to me.
Excuse me?
I promised. Ranger gave Tank another nudge with his foot. Actually, it was almost a kick.
I do,
Tank said.
No, wait, I don't. I do. I don't.
He shook his head. His vision cleared, and he looked up at Ranger.
Crap.
You fainted, I told Tank.
I did not, Tank said. That's a lie.
Ranger grabbed Tank by the shirt and pulled him to his feet.
No small task, since Tank had about 50 pounds on Ranger.
Doc,
Ranger said to Tank. Tank looked at me. You might as well, I said to Tank. He'll find out anyway, he always does.
I'm engaged, Tank said. I guess it's to get married.
Ranger didn't move for a beat.
Engaged, he finally said. And you think it's to get married?
Tank nodded his head.
And your fiancée? Lula,
Tank said. Ranger rocked back on his heels, grinning.
No wonder you fainted. You gotta help me, Tank said. No way I'm getting involved in this. You're on your own.
Ranger glanced at the door to Brenda's suite.
Any word from the diva?
Haven't seen her all day, Tank said. The PR person is in there.
Ranger checked his watch and rapped on the door. Nothing happened, so he rapped again and Nancy answered.
5 minutes, Ranger said.
10 minutes later, Ranger opened the door with his key card and we walked in on Brenda. She was in a hotel bathrobe and she was talking on the phone.
I'm in the middle of something,
she said to Ranger.
We need to leave, Ranger said.
Be a good boy or Mommy will spank you,
Brenda said to Ranger. Ranger yanked the phone cord out of the wall and the little plastic clip popped off and flew across the room. Brenda looked Ranger over.
Very masterful, she said. I like your style.
Hard to tell if it was sarcasm or if Brenda was feeling like she wouldn't mind wearing Ranger's handcuffs. I was going with some of both. Ranger looked at Nancy.
Does she have clothes?
Nancy had a bunch of dresses draped over her arm. We're working on it.
Work on it faster, Ranger said.
I could hear muffled voices and scuffling sounds in the hall. There was a loud thud, someone shrieked, and that led to more voices all talking at once. Ranger opened the door, and we looked out at Tank. He was surrounded by women carrying signs protesting Brenda and breast augmentation. Tank had one of the signs in one hand and a woman by the back of her jacket in the other. The woman's feet weren't touching the ground.
What's going on? Ranger asked Tank. They wanted to get in to see Brenda, but I wouldn't let them, and then this one hit me with her sign, Tank said. That's assault, Ranger said to the woman. We could have you arrested.
The woman looked at Ranger and sucked in some air.
Put her down, Ranger said to Tank, and return her sign.
He faced the rest of the women.
You can't protest here. You have to return to the lobby. You can have your demonstration down there. Brenda will be walking through in a couple minutes.
The women turned and got into the elevator and disappeared. Ranger punched hotel security into his cell phone.
We have protesters in the elevator heading for the lobby, he said. I want them escorted out of the hotel.
You're sneaky, I said to Ranger. Ranger ushered me back into the suite.
Something to remember.
Brenda had crammed herself into a low-cut black sweater and tight black jeans. The sweater gave a first-rate display of her spectacularly augmented breasts. Truth is, for a moment I was just a teensy jealous. I was half her age, and I was worried that even on a good day I didn't look as sexy as Brenda. She was wearing strappy heels and long dangly diamond earrings that caught the light when she moved.
What was that all about?
She asked. More animal cruelty protesters in the hall, I said. They're gone. I thought this was easier than explaining about the breast augmentation issue.
Honestly, I don't know what their problem is. It's not like I'm torturing puppies. It was a friggin' mink coat. Those minks were born to be coats. Has anyone ever explained that to them?
She turned and pointed her finger at Nancy.
I want you to talk to them. It's your job to make things run smoothly and effortlessly for me. This is all your fault.
I'm getting a migraine, Nancy whispered to me. I might have to skip the press conference. A migraine isn't going to get you out of this, I told her. If you died, I'd drag your cold dead body to that press conference. If I have to go, you have to go. The women against augmentation were MIA when we walked into the lobby with Brenda. A few die-hard fans were milling around, clumped together behind the potted plants, but we swished through before they realized Brenda was in their space. Ranger was wasting no time moving her to the large conference room at the opposite end of the hotel. Nancy was practically running in an attempt to keep ahead of Ranger as he towed Brenda, his hand wrapped around her wrist, partially to hurry her along, partially to keep her from grabbing him. I was last in line, guarding the rear. The conference room was filled with media when we arrived. A small raised stage had been set in place. It held two chairs and a table with a vase of flowers and two handheld microphones. Brenda took a chair, and Lou Pepper, the concert promoter who had hired Ranger, took the other. Pepper looked over at Ranger, and Ranger deadpanned a cold-eyed stare, extended his index finger at Lou, thumb up to simulate a gun, and pulled the trigger. Lou laughed, but looked nervous and pointed to the first reporter up. A small man with gray hair tied back in a ponytail and wearing a lumpy sports coat of no specific color stood.
"I'm from the Princeton paper, and I'd like to know if you feel the lyrics to your latest album are relevant in today's culture."
"They weren't even relevant when I made the album," she said. "I always try to avoid content in my songs."
A woman from a Hunterdon County Weekly asked Brenda if she liked horses.
"Sure," Brenda said. "Doesn't everyone?"
That was followed by a guy who looked like he'd been kicked around the block a few times recently.
"I'm from the Newark paper, and I'd like to know what the gate is on this concert."
"Not as big as your booze bill," Brenda said.
Everyone laughed. These people all knew one another. This was a conference for local newsmen. Brenda was a big deal in Trenton, but New York wouldn't cross the river for her. But then, New York didn't cross the river for anyone. Halfway through the interview, a guy from the Asbury Park paper stood and said he'd heard a rumor that Brenda was being harassed by a stalker who had unsuccessfully tried to kidnap her. Was that issue being addressed while she was in Trenton?
"Absolutely," Lou Pepper said. "No one's going to kidnap Brenda while she's in Trenton. All stalkers are going to have to be content with buying an album."
Everyone laughed but Ranger. Ranger was watching the room.
"Is it being addressed?" I asked him.
"He's in the third row. Pudgy guy, white hair, black-rimmed glasses, in his 40s.
"Why don't you have him ejected? Isn't there a restraining order against him?"
"Yes, but I'd rather have him where I can see him."
A reporter for one of the Trenton papers got the nod. He looked mid-20s, probably fresh out of college. He was slim and dressed in an oversized shirt and khaki slacks.
"Brenda," he said, "my grandfather has been a huge fan ever since he first heard you perform when he was in college. Do you expect to see much of that early fan base here at your concert in Trenton?"
"Craps," Brenda said. "Your grandfather? How old are you? You look like the last guy I dated."
Nancy jumped out of her chair.
"And that concludes our press conference. Thank you all for coming."
Ranger helped Brenda off the stage and handed her a can of soda and a cookie from the refreshment table set out for the press. "Keeping her hands occupied?" I asked him.
"Trying."
He put his hand to Brenda's back and guided her through the crowd. I watched for the stalker guy and put myself between him and Brenda when he moved toward her.
"Are you her bodyguard?" the stalker asked.
"I'm part of the security team."
"I gotta talk to her."
"No can do," I said.
"You don't understand. It's critical. I had a new vision."
I moved closer to Ranger, closing the gap, and followed him into the elevator. The doors closed, and Brenda Stalker was out of my life, stuck in the lobby with the rest of the crazies. Brenda drank some soda and nibbled the cookie.
"Where am I again?"
"Trenton." She did an exaggerated eye roll.
"I hate Trenton. It's dreary and provincial. Why can't I be in New York or Paris?"
"No one wanted you there," Nancy said. "We could only get you a gig in Trenton."
"That's ridiculous," Brenda said. "It's your incompetence that has me stuck here. Why do I always get the incompetent assistance?"
Tank was in the hall when we stepped out of the elevator. He was back to silent mode after spilling his guts about his engagement. I thought he probably wouldn't speak to me again for another 4 or 5 years. We lured Nancy and Brenda into the suite with a promise of room service and closed the door after them.
"Tank and I can take her for the rest of the afternoon," Ranger said. "I'd like you back here at 6:30. The dinner is at 7. It's formal. Black tie."
"Formal? You never told me the dinner was formal. I haven't got anything to wear." He gave me a credit card.
"Take the corporate card. Get whatever you need."
My eyes went wide.
"It's not that easy. Do you have any idea how hard it is to find the right gown? And then I have to accessorize, shoes and a purse and jewelry."
"Babe,"
Ranger said. Sook was waiting when I rolled to a stop in front of his school. He was with the same odd assortment of friends, and they all applauded when they saw my car. He slid onto the passenger seat, dropped his backpack between his legs, and buckled up.
"I guess my mom's still in the slammer," he said on a sigh.
"I'm sorry.
I feel sort of stupid that I can't help her."
"Yeah," I said.
Me too.
My cell phone rang with a number I didn't recognize on the display.
It's your new best friend, Dom, he said. I'm watching you, but you'll never find me, so don't bother to look around. Just act like everything is normal. I don't want to freak the kid.
Okay, what's up?
Just making sure you're not taking him back to Morelli's house. You take him back to Morelli's house, and I'm gonna have to kill you along with Morelli.
Have you thought about getting help? Maybe seeing a doctor?
I don't need help. I know what I'm doing. You're the one who's gonna need help if you don't take good care of the kid.
And he disconnected. This was a family beyond dysfunction. Dom's mother was probably sanest of them all, and she was being fed pureed peas. I pulled away from the school and hooked a left. Zook turned in his seat and looked out the back window.
Who's the guy following you? He asked.
I looked in my rearview mirror. White car right on my bumper. Might be a Taurus. That probably meant it was a rental, since no one actually buys a white Taurus. My first thought was Dom. I stopped for a light and got a glimpse of the driver. White hair, pasty complexion. Large, framed, black plastic Buddy Holly glasses. Definitely not Dom. It was the stalker. Must have followed me from the hotel garage. Just what I needed, one more nut to add to my collection. Hang on, I said to Zook. I'm gonna get rid of him. I have a routine that I do in the Berg when I want to lose a tail. It involves a lot of cornering and rocketing down alleys, and it always works. It was especially easy this time because the stalker was clearly an amateur. I lost him halfway through my drill.
Cool, Zook said. That was excellent. Do you know that guy?
He's a Brenda stalker. I don't know why he attached himself to me. I rolled through the Berg and parked in front of my parents' house. I have to work tonight, so I'm leaving you with my parents, I told Zook.
What about Morelli?
I thought we'd test drive this arrangement. Variety can be good, right? My Grandma Mazur had the door open before we even got to the front porch. Grandma was dressed in her favorite lavender slacks, white tennis shoes, and flowered shirt. Her gray hair was freshly set in rows of curls. Her nails were painted to match her slacks. She'd been a beauty in her time, but a lot of her had shrunk and sagged. This went unnoticed by Grandma, who seemed to get younger in spirit as her body aged.
Who do we have here? She wanted to know.
This is Mario Rizzi, Loretta's son. Everyone calls him Zook.
Zook, Grandma said. That's a pip of a name. I wish I had a name like that.
She took a closer look at him.
You got an awful lot of holes in you. How do you sleep with all those rings attached to your head? Don't it bother you when you roll over?
You get used to it, Zook said.
You remind me of someone, Grandma said. Stephanie, who does he look like?
I nod on my lower lip. Gee, I don't know. Grandma snapped her fingers.
I know who it is. It's Morelli. He's the spitting image of Joseph when he was Zook's age.
They're very, very distant cousins, I said. Zook peeked into the living room.
This house has high-speed internet, right?
Sure, we got cable, Grandma said. We're not in the Stone Age here. I blog and everything.
I have to go, I said to Zook. Don't paint anything. Moondog doesn't stand a chance against Grandma. I left my parents' house and drove the short distance to Morelli's house to let Bob out to tinkle. I parked and let myself in through the front door. The house was quiet. No Bob feet galloping to greet me. Bob, I yelled.
Yoo-hoo, want to go out?
Nothing. I walked through the dining room to the kitchen. Still no sign of Bob. I looked out the window over the sink and saw Bob sitting in the sun in Morelli's little backyard. Bob was wearing his collar, but no leash. Morelli wasn't around. I opened the back door, and Bob rushed in, tail wagging, all smiley face. I wasn't nearly so happy as Bob. I had creepy crawlies plus the willies. I took Bob's leash off the kitchen counter, snapped it onto Bob's collar, and walked him straight through the house to the front door, out the door, to my car. I loaded Bob into the back of the Sentra, and I called Morelli. I stopped by to let Bob out to tinkle, and he was sitting in your backyard, I said. Did you let him out?
No. You were the last one out of the house.
Bob was sleeping in your bed when I left, and I know your kitchen door was locked because I remember checking it, but it was unlocked when I got here just now.
Does it look like anything's missing? Any sign of forced entry?
I didn't hang around long enough to find out. I've got Bob in my car, and I'm dropping him at my mom's. You need to go home and walk through the house, and please don't do it alone like a big, stupid macho cop. Two break-ins in a row is too much of a coincidence. Something is going on here. Chapter 6. It had taken me longer than I would have thought to get clothes for the dinner. I had Ranger's credit card with a limit high enough to buy a house, but I couldn't spend beyond my own comfort zone. And then there were Ranger's rules, which he hadn't articulated, but I knew existed. He'd want me in black, and he'd want me to wear something that would allow me to move about unnoticed. I'd done a decent job, with the possible exception of the skirt. And lucky for Ranger, I'd run out of time before I got around to accessorizing at Tiffany's. I hiked my skirt up over my knees so I wouldn't catch my heel in my hem, and I ran through the parking lot to the hotel. I was 10 minutes late. I was wearing a white silk camisole under a short black satin jacket and a simple floor-length black skirt with a slit up the front that stopped a couple inches short of slut. I barreled through the lobby and was sideswiped by the stalker. He reached out for me, and I slapped his hand away.
"I have to talk to you," he said.
"Go away," I told him on the run for the elevator. "I'm late."
"It's important. It's about Brenda. I had another vision. There was a big pizza."
I rushed into an open elevator. He tried to follow me, and I gave him a two-handed shove that sent him out of the elevator and onto his ass. The elevator doors closed, and I checked my hair and makeup in the shiny gold door trim. Ranger and Hal were in the hall when I stepped out. The shift had changed, and Tank was either getting ready to face Lula, or else he was at the airport heading for South America and points unknown. Ranger was wearing a perfectly fitted black tux, black shirt, black-on-black striped silk tie. I've seen him in SWAT black fatigues, black t-shirt and jeans, black slacks and jacket, and I've seen him naked. He always looks great, but Ranger in a tux was a heart-stopper. Almost as good as Ranger naked. Almost, because nothing was better than Ranger naked. I returned the credit card, and he pocketed it with a smile.
"Nice," he said, eyes fixed on the slit in the front of my skirt.
It was one of those moments that if Hal hadn't been present, we might have torn each other's clothes off right there in the hall. Ranger knocked on the door, and Nancy answered.
"How long?" Ranger asked.
"Hard to say. She's undecided on gowns."
"I'm gonna knock again in 10 minutes, and she'll go to the dinner and whatever she's got on."
"Jeez," Nancy said, and she closed the door. "Boy, you're tough," I told Ranger.
"It was a desperate, hollow threat."
10 minutes to the second, the door opened, and Brenda flounced out in a very low-cut, skin-tight, iridescent white gown, trimmed in long, fluffy white feathers. The feathers fluttered from her shoulders and the lower half of her skirt. I couldn't imagine what sort of bird had grown the fabulous feathers, but I suspected there were a lot of them running around, bare-skinned. "Wow," I said. Brenda wiggled so the feathers would swirl around her.
"It's from the Ginger Rogers collection."
"No shit." She sidled up to Ranger.
"I'm not wearing panties. The dress is too tight. I thought you'd want to know."
"Ew," I said. Brenda looked at me.
"You have a problem with that?"
"Too much information." Hal looked like he'd swallowed his tongue. Nancy took a large bottle of Advil from her purse, tapped out two pills, and popped them into her mouth. Ranger picked feathers off his black tux. The Ginger collection was molting. We marched the bird woman through the lobby to the waiting motorcade. Downy feather remnants drifted like dust motes on air currents in our wake, and a blizzard of feathers whirled across the floor. A handful of fans and a few members of the press took pictures, and Brenda posed and smiled and flapped around. I felt heavy breathing on the back of my neck and turned to see the stalker hovering in my personal space. "You're breathing on me," I said to him.
"I thought if I got close enough, I might be able to send you a mental message. It was an experiment."
"It failed. Go away."
"You don't understand. It's critical that I talk to you."
"No, you don't understand. It's critical that you go away, because if you keep bothering me, that Latino guy in the tux is going to throw you out a third-story window." Ranger looked over at me, and the stalker backed up into a luggage cart. Brenda moved toward the limo, and we all climbed in after her. Nancy and I sat in the seat facing backwards,
and that left a seat next to Brenda for Ranger. He picked a feather out of his mouth and looked across at me and smiled. I pressed my knees together, but no matter what I did with my legs, from where he sat, there was a direct line of sight up my skirt. Ranger walked me to my car in the parking lot. It was a little after midnight, and Brenda was in her room with Hal standing guard.
That had to be the longest night in the history of the world, Ranger said. I was captured by Colombian rebels and tortured for 3 days, and it was better than that dinner.
He brushed feathers off his sleeve.
I don't know whether to have this cleaned or just throw it away.
You look like you wrestled a big chicken. He looked at my jacket and skirt.
Why aren't you covered with feathers?
I stayed away from Brenda.
I didn't have that luxury, Ranger said.
Yeah, I noticed. She was all over you. He took his jacket off in an effort to distance himself from the feathers, but he had feathers stuck to his shirt.
I don't usually have that problem. Most women are afraid of me.
Maybe she's not smart enough to be afraid of you.
More likely, she knows I'm no match for her, Ranger said.
Ranger had offered the use of his bed, but I didn't think that was a good idea. I checked on Zook, and he was with my parents, sleeping in my old bedroom. I had my own apartment, but that held little appeal tonight. Truth is, I missed Morelli. I cruised by his house and the porch light was on, so I parked and went to the door. Locked. I tried my key. Wouldn't work. He'd changed the locks. That was a relief. I rang the bell and waited. I heard the dog feet first, clattering down the wood stairs. Moments later, Morelli opened the door. He was in socks and jeans and a t-shirt. His eyes were soft and sleepy, and his hair was more unruly than usual.
I was hoping you'd come back tonight, he said. I tried to wait up, but I fell asleep halfway through Letterman.
He pulled me into the foyer and kissed me.
Did they feed you at the dinner? Do you need something to eat?
I'm starving.
Me too. I want French toast.
Morelli got the fry pan out and started it heating while I whipped eggs and soaked the bread. We sat at his kitchen table, and between the three of us, we went through almost a loaf of bread and a bottle of fake maple syrup. I pushed back in my chair. I see you've had your locks changed.
Probably I should have done it sooner. I never bothered when I moved into the house. For all I know, Rose could have given keys out to half the burg.
So what was the deal with Bob in the backyard today?
I don't know, Morelli said, but I'm not happy. I don't like people breaking into my house, and I especially don't like them messing with my dog. I went all through the house. I couldn't see where anything was taken. It occurred to me that someone might have been dropping off rather than picking up, so I had a crew go through looking for bombs, drugs, and bugs. Nothing was found.
I wish I could tell you more about the guy last night, but he caught me by surprise, and he was moving fast.
Do you remember hearing a car take off?
No. My heart was beating so hard, all I could hear was my own blood pressure. What's happening with Loretta and Zook?
I thought it was best to leave Zook with your parents. Loretta is still in jail.
Have you had a chance to talk to her about the garage event?
No, too many people listening. No privacy in jail. I'll wait until she's out.
Okay. I knew I shouldn't be concerned. To begin with, Morelli had way too much testosterone as a kid, but he wasn't really a bad person. And besides that, he's an amazing guy now. He's smart and responsible and honorable and loving. And it wouldn't matter if he had a son. It would feel weird, but it wouldn't matter. Having thought through all this, I was still a little freaked out. So, what's your take on it? I asked him, morbid curiosity winning out over trust and sensitivity. Do you think it's possible that you're Zook's father?
I guess anything is possible, considering my hit-and-run lifestyle back then, Morelli said. But I can't see me doing it with Loretta. And I think Loretta would have come to me for help by now. Besides, I always used condoms, even in high school.
You didn't with me, Morelli grinned.
You were different.
We were lucky I didn't get pregnant.
Maybe,
Morelli said.
Maybe not. If you'd gotten pregnant, we'd be married now. It would all have been much more simple.
Morelli was gone when I woke up. Bob was in bed with me, and a note was attached to his collar. Feed Bob and walk him, and remember to take a blue plastic bag. Mr. Gorovich, the grouch next door, is complaining. Love you, Joe. P.S. Make sure Zook gets to school. P.P.S. There's a new house key for you on the kitchen table. I stumbled into the bathroom, took a shower, and dressed for the day as a range man employee.
I dragged Bob out of bed down to the kitchen and fed him. Then I dragged him outside to go for a walk. I ignored Morelli's instructions and let Bob poop to his heart's content on everyone's lawns. I know it was irresponsible of me, but I wasn't up to bagging poop first thing in the morning. I dropped my new house key into my purse and drove the short distance to my parents' house. My mother's house always smells wonderful. Apple pie, roast turkey with stuffing, chocolate chip cookies, marinara sauce. Never air freshener. Air freshener was for sissies and slackers. My mother's house announced the day's menu. This morning it was bacon and coffee and home fries with onion and green pepper. Everyone was at the kitchen table when I walked in. My mother was manning the stove frying the potatoes. My grandmother was at the table with Zook. Zook was dressed for school in his usual gothic black getup. Grandma was a carbon copy, except for the piercings. Black jeans, black boots, black t-shirt with warrior written in golden red flames across her chest. Big chunky chain belt, and a wooden cross on a chain around her neck. She looked like the grandma from hell. "Nice outfit," I said to her. "What's the occasion?"
"I'm going online as soon as I'm done with breakfast," she said. "I'm gonna lay waste to the griefer."
I looked over at my mother, and she made a gesture like she was gonna hang herself. "What's a griefer?" I asked. I'd heard Zook use the term, but I didn't actually know what it meant. I also knew Moondog was a griefer, but I didn't know what a moondog was either.
"A griefer's a snert," Grandma said. "A cheese player, a twink."
I nodded. "That makes it all clear."
"A cyber bully," Zook said. "I got your grandmother playing Minion Fire last night, and Moondog terminated your grandma's PC. That's a player character. Had him take a dirt nap. Man, your grandma was really pissed."
My mother clanked the fry pan against the burner, and we all jumped.
"Excuse me," Zook said. "I meant she was angry. Anyway, she was able to regen, and now she's rolling."
"Yeah," Grandma said. "I'm a newbie, so my PC runs at a pretty low level. But I've got some uber elves camping for me. They're evil, but they're bitchin'."
"Where'd you get the clothes?" I asked her.
"Harriet Gottler took me shopping after we paid our respects to Warren Krutze. He had an early viewing. And I'm not Grandma no more," she said. "I'm Scorch."
"Scorch?"
"Yep, because I'm hot. Get it? Scorch."
My mother was eyeing the cabinet alongside the stove where she kept the liquor. "It's sort of early in the day," I told her. She blew out a sigh and shook the potato pan. She brought it to the table and dumped the home fries into a bowl. She had eggs going in another fry pan, and she divided them up on everyone's plates. My stomach was filled with eggs and potatoes. Zook was at school, and I wasn't scheduled to meet with Ranger until 11. I had a stack of skips to find, but nothing recent and nothing that interested me. For lack of something better to do, I stopped at the office. Lula was on the couch waiting through a stack of Bride magazines, marking pages with little red sticky tabs. I looked over at Connie, and Connie did an eye roll.
"I saw that," Lula said. "Don't you do an eye roll about me. I gotta consider my options. I gotta keep an open mind. Tank would be real disappointed if he don't see me in a long white dress. And what about his mama? She could be expecting a wrist corsage. I gotta consider flowers. I don't want to get started on the wrong foot with his mama."
It was hard to imagine Tank having a mama, much less one who would wear a wrist corsage. "You said you didn't want a big wedding," I said to Lula.
"Yeah, but looking at the cake got the ball rolling."
"Have you talked to Tank about any of this?"
"No. I didn't see him last night. He called up and said he had one of them stomach viruses."
"Sometimes men don't like elaborate weddings," I said to Lula, "especially when they don't want to get married."
"That better not be Tank," Lula said, "on account of I'm starting to get into this wedding shit. And anyways, after all the things I'd do for him, the least he could do is marry me in a church and all."
"You do lots of things for Tank?"
"Well, I might in the future," Lula said.
My mother's ringtone went off on my cell phone. "There's a strange man here, and he's looking for you," my mother said. "I told him you weren't here, but he won't go away." "Does he have white hair and big black glasses?"
"Yes."
"I'll be right there."
"Me too," Lula said. "Where are we going? Who has white hair and glasses?"
Chapter 7. There were three cars lined up at the curb in front of my parents' house.
The white Taurus was one of them.
I never seen a real stalker before, Lula said. I'm looking forward to this.
I parked in the driveway and slid from behind the wheel. Let me do the talking. I don't want to make a big deal over this, and I especially don't want to freak my mother out.
Sure, Lula said. I understand that. My lips are sealed.
And don't shoot him or gas him or fry his hair with your stun gun.
You got a lot of rules, Lula said.
He's harmless.
That's what those stalkers want you to believe, and then wham, they get naked pictures of you and put them on the internet.
You have personal experience?
No, but I heard. Well, okay, maybe a little experience, but not with a stalker.
My mother was at the door waiting for me. How do you attract these strange men? My mother asked. They're never normal.
He's a stalker, Lula said. He might even be dangerous.
I turned and looked at Lula. What about the sealed lips?
I forgot. I got carried away.
He's confused, I said to my mother. I just need to talk to him. Where is he? He's in the kitchen. I have a full house today. Your grandmother is in the dining room with Betty Greenblatt and Ruth Zutch. They're all insane. They each have a computer and they're playing that game. They don't even take bathroom breaks. I think they're all wearing Depends. They said they're ganging up on the griefer. They don't like being disturbed, so you have to sneak past them. My mother, Lula, and I tiptoed past Grandma, Betty, and Ruth. They were all dressed like Zook, and they were all hunched over their computers.
We got a bad snirt here, girls, Betty said. Let's kick ass. This looks like the queen of the damned costume party at the Shady Rest nursing home, Lula whispered to me. Is this what the golden years look like?
I heard that, Ruth said. The golden years are for pussies. We went straight to brass.
The stalker was in the kitchen stirring a pot of chili. He did a big smile when he saw me. Surprise, he said.
So you're the stalker, Lula said, looking him over. I thought you'd be nastier. You're kind of a disappointment.
Yeah, he said. I'm not good at this. I can't get anyone to pay attention to me.
You gotta look assertive if you want people to hear you, Lula said. You gotta talk with authority. You gotta walk the walk and use the language. You see what I'm saying?
I guess so. I guess I could try that.
He stiffened his spine and pointed his finger at me.
Listen, bitch.
My mother gave him a whack on the head with her wooden spoon.
Behave yourself.
Don't you have anything better to do? I asked him. Don't you have a job?
I'm currently between positions. I had a job, but then I had the dream, and I had to give the job up so I could follow Brenda around.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere, Lula said. This is about a dream.
I told all this to the police and the judge and the psychiatrist, the stalker said.
Then you should have the story down good, Lula said. Tell it to me.
3 years ago, I was struck by lightning in the Walmart parking lot. All my hair fell out, and when it grew back, it was this white color, and I was sort of psychic, like sometimes people glow and I can see their aura.
Oh, yeah? What's my aura?
Lula wanted to know.
I'm not seeing one right now.
Huh, Lula said. Some psychic. Can't even see my aura. I bet I have a hell of an aura, too.
But wait a minute. I think I'm starting to see one. It's red.
That's a powerful color, Lula said.
Anyway, sometimes I have these vision dreams that I'm pretty sure mean something, and I started having them about Brenda. And I got this feeling that I was supposed to be protecting her, you know, like staying close by for when I got a vision of danger.
What's this vision of danger look like? Lula asked him.
It's, a pizza.
Say what?
It's a big pizza. It's symbolic. See, there's Brenda, and there's this big pizza she's running away from.
Maybe you're the pizza, Lula said.
Or maybe the danger is that she'll get fat if she eats the big pizza, I said. He shook his head.
No, this is an evil pizza. It's none of those things.
And you told this to the psychiatrist and he still lets you run around loose?
Lula said.
I'm not considered dangerous, he said. Just annoying.
Here's the deal, I said to him. I promise to keep my eyes open for the big pizza if you'll go away.
How about if I just keep a distance?
Sure, but it has to be out of sight.
Okay, and I'll let you know right away if I get any more messages.
Deal, I said. I walked him out of the kitchen, past Grandma and the ladies, and into the hall.
I watched him leave, and then I locked and bolted the front door. When I got back to the kitchen, my mother had the spray bottle of bleach in hand, and she was disinfecting the counters and the stalker's chair.
Marion Zajac's daughter doesn't have stalkers. Catherine Bargalowski's daughter doesn't have stalkers. Why do I have to be the one with the daughter who has stalkers? Isn't it enough that my mother kills griefers? I mean, what kind of a woman kills griefers? Can she go to jail for that? Am I an accomplice?
Grandma came into the kitchen.
That no good son of a peach basket ganked me. I had my bitches here and I still got ganked.
You didn't kill the griefer, did you? My mother asked.
No, aren't you listening? He ganked me.
My mother and I had no clue what happened when someone got ganked, but it didn't sound good.
Thank heaven, my mother said, and she made the sign of the cross.
I got big news, Lula said, flashing the ring. Notice anything new?
Wow, that's a pip of a ring, Grandma said.
I'm engaged to my big sweet potato, Tank, Lula said. I'm thinking of a June wedding.
You can't go wrong with a June wedding, Grandma said. Do you have the hall?
No, Lula said. I only just got started.
What about flowers? Grandma asked.
I was thinking little pink sweetheart roses.
You could put them on the cake, too. Only make them out of icing, Grandma said. And then you need table decorations. And what color were you going to use for bridesmaids?
Pink, Lula said. Everything could be pink, like the roses. It could be my theme. I read in one of the magazines the best weddings have themes.
They're more memorable that way, Grandma said.
Lula's eyes got wide.
I just got the best idea. We could put Tank in a pink tuxedo.
I've never seen a groom in a pink tuxedo, Grandma said. It might make the news. You could be on television.
He would look real good with his skin tone, Lula said. We might have to get it made special, though. I should get started right away.
I wasn't a Tank expert.